Hey everybody, before we got started today, we just wanted to give a couple of little updates as we recorded this episode several weeks ago, and a couple of things that we wanted to say at the top. Katie, would you mind starting us off here?
Sure. For those of you who are actually in the New Jersey area, I'm going to be in Shakespeare's Measure for Measure with the St. James Players in Montclair, New Jersey. The dates for those performances are Friday and Saturday, September 14th and 15th at 7 p.m., Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd at 7 p.m. and Sunday, September 16th at 2 p.m. Admission's free, but the St. James Players would love to take your donations, and I'm really excited about it, so I hope some of you can make it out.
And we will be sure to keep that stuff posted on all of our social media so you guys have updates as we get closer to the date. In the meantime, at the end of this episode, I talk a little trash about you guys because you hadn't written any reviews for us despite our begging and pleading, but we have received several since then. Then I wanted to just give some people some shout outs. First, I want to thank people who have written reviews on iTunes in countries where we can't necessarily see them, such as Sandy in the UK, and then user LJHDB, which is not something I know how to pronounce.
Whomever,
by the way.
You are, LJHDB.
In Australia. Thank you guys for the 5-star reviews. Also, I want to thank user Cool Ice Cold Soda, spelled with K's, because K's are cooler than C's.
K's are cooler than C's.
Just ask Katie, whose name is not spelled C-A-T-I-E.
Or C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E.
Or, yeah, none of those ways.
Anyway, exactly.
Thank you for the 5-star review. Charlene, of course, we love you. You're wonderful. You've been magnificent to us.
Charlene, C's that come with an H are cool.
Yeah,
we
that's
didn't
what,
mean to
we
offend
don't want,
you.
We don't want
Thank
that
you so
spelled.
Much for your support.
K-H-R-A-R-L-E-N-E. And finally, I want to give a special thanks to listener Christina, who doesn't listen to us on iTunes, but still wanted to write us a review. So she just took a little note on her phone and then sent us a snapshot of it. I'm assuming it was 5 stars. It was a very glowing review.
Yeah, it was really nice. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that.
And with that, I just wanted to say, especially to the two of you, Charlene and Christina, you are our California girls, and so this episode is dedicated to you. Bikinis, martinis, zucchinis, no weenies. Man, this song really melts my popsicle. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyperanalyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I think I just laugh snorted.
Yeah?
But I'm not sure. Well, I know I just laugh snorted,
right?
But I'm not sure if the microphone picked it up
I
or not.
I don't think that it did.
Okay.
I've got these headphones on, and I don't recall hearing snorts. Yet.
Good.
I'm going to say yet because, of course, we have one of our dear, dear friends who is known for her snort laughing, traveled all the way from Baltimore, MD, to come be here with us this weekend. Emily, welcome back.
Thank you.
To the podcast. What is that? Like, that is not your voice. Like, don't
She's
use
trying her NPR voice.
Seriously.
This is better.
Oh, there it is. That's the crone I know and love,
yeah.
Right there.
Hi.
Everybody, of course, remembers you from our Dave Matthews episode where you made that exact same voice after trying to do your NPR voice unsuccessfully.
Yep.
So how has your life changed since doing our first episode?
Well, I not at all.
No?
But, you know. You're not famous now?
I am not famous.
There's approximately 2 to 3 more dozen people that know
right.
Emily's voice and yeah. the song I Did It by the Dave Matthews Band.
So. No one comes up to me and says, I did it.
Because nobody recognizes your voice.
No one stops you on the street just to be like, it's you from Decomposition.
Nobody recognizes you on the street when you're walking around saying like,
no one's Googled me.
I'll take 2 of those. Artisanally crafted headscarves, some veggie bacon.
This is Emily Crone, and no, nobody comes up to me and says, "Dear NPR voice,
well,
please."
Maybe after this episode gets released. So today, our song is a song that I'll admit I have zero problems with.
I love this song.
I love the song too.
It is, of course, the 2010 hit single by Katy Perry featuring Snoop Dogg, California Girls, off of her album Teenage Dream. This song is a behemoth song. It went to number one on Billboard's Hot 100, number one on the Adult Top 40, number one on the Mainstream Top 40, 5.8 million copies sold, and number one in 11 different countries. It was voted by a Billboard survey in 2012 as the number one summer song of all time.
Wow.
It is a summer song.
It is amazing.
And it is exactly what it is supposed to be.
Yes.
It is a fun, catchy, poppy, whimsical song with a ridiculous and fun video featuring some of the just syrupy, sweetest Snoop Dogg lyrics I've ever heard in my life. He's come a long, long way since, like, What's My Name and Gin and Juice.
and he's a family man. It's hard to believe that it's the same man who did What's and, My Name and Gin and Juice.
And now has a cooking show with Martha Stewart.
He's a strange character.
He's a strange character, and I'm so annoyed that, like, he can pull it off.
Yeah.
He gets away with it. Like, good on you, Calvin, I guess. But, like, it's one of those guys who somehow gets away with everything, and it makes me, like, jealous angry.
Yeah, he can do no wrong. Like, right. Any project he embarks upon, it's great. And embarks upon.
Ayo.
Embarks. And then he can decide he wants to be Snoop Lion, and we're all like, fine, exactly. You do your thing.
Emily, you just, ding, you just said, barks.
Barks.
Because everything has to be a weird voice.
Yeah. I can't help it.
You can't help it.
Yeah, that's who I am.
Before we get into this song.
Sorry.
Crone, you all right?
Yeah.
You choking on nothing?
Choking on everything.
All right.
And nothing.
All at once.
All at once.
There it is. Weird voice. Katie, there were a couple of things that you wanted to talk about unrelated to this song beforehand.
Yeah, just really quickly, we got a nice email from listener Jill G. I guess I won't give her whole last name. And she just wanted to reach out and say that she was thinking about Kiss from a Rose, and maybe the gray is like gray matter and a reference to the brain, and it could be, you know, some connection to the influence of drugs on the brain. And I thought that was cool, like, interesting idea. I didn't overthink it too much, but I appreciated her reaching out to give us her thoughts on the theory. And then
it's just like further evidence of the drug theory, but I don't know that the drug theory is the right one.
Nah, I don't know if it is or if it isn't. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Like Seal said himself, you know, it's more the sound of the song that matters, and whatever you think the words mean are what the words mean.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure, like, it's mostly meaningless anyway.
I have my own theory. I have my own theory about what the song is about.
Yeah, your theory is based on lyrics that aren't there, though.
Yeah, but still, it's very valid.
Okay.
Just because it has no evidence doesn't mean it's not correct. Just ask anybody.
Hashtag facts, right?
Hashtag facts matter. If facts matter. Who was that that said that? That was Smash Mouth.
Yeah. Facts matter.
Facts matter. I also appreciate that Jill G likes to listen to the podcast with her teenage kids, and I think that's fun, and I hope they continue to enjoy it. And if we do anything that's too risque down the pipe, we'll make sure to put a disclaimer on the beginning of it.
I also want to say thanks to Joe Shipley for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. We love you.
Because I'm determined to just insert his name into any old episode now.
Joe,
that's
Shipley.
My fun game.
And we have a cool new follower.
Yeah.
And it's Andrew W.K.
Andrew W.K. is now listening to every single episode of the podcast and following us on social media.
Right.
Or he's just following us on social media because we've had such, like, a barrage of comments and retweets and likes on all of his stuff that he's decided to just cave and be like, whatever, I'll follow them and not pay any attention.
Or he loves the show. Or
maybe
he loves the
it.
Show.
Maybe so he loves it.
Just saying.
Andrew W.K., I hope you love it because we love you. Party hard.
Party hard.
So this song, California Girls, like I said, off of her album Teenage Dream, this, I'll say flat out, like, I'm a Katy Perry fan. She's got a lot of stuff that I don't like, but she also has a lot of stuff that I do like. And I like her as a human being. I think that she is so very entertaining and funny and quirky, and we may or may not have dated for a long time in the past. Yeah, like I mean, just like I said, we may not have dated in the past. And so I don't want to say anything bad about my lady friend, Katy Perry. No, this was like the only like celebrity crush that I really have had in my life.
Katy Perry and Elizabeth Banks.
And Elizabeth Banks. That's it. It's something about that quirky girl that makes me laugh. I don't know.
Oh.
What can I say?
Interesting.
Yep.
And of course, my wife.
Who did he marry?
Oh.
Quirky girl who makes him laugh. Oh, gross.
That is gross. You make me want to barf.
Oh, that's so rude. I love Katy Perry, too. I think she's fun. I think, you know, a lot of the sort of sexy girl stuff is done in a way that's like whimsical with a sort of a wink of,
yeah.
Isn't this all stupid? Like, yeah. Shouldn't we just exploit how stupid this is? And I think that's hilarious.
I think it's done with such sense of humor, all mm-hmm. of it.
And she and her team have mastered that exploitation.
Absolutely.
Over the many, many years. Now, as far as Katy Perry songs go, there are certainly plenty of her hits out there that have dumber lyrics.
Yeah.
Like we just listened to Extraterrestrial today.
Yeah.
With Kanye West. And if given 15 seconds of thought, I'm sure we could just spit out like a dumb lyric here that she had or a dumb lyric there.
Infect me with your
poison.
Poison.
Or in a Teenage Dream where she talks about building a blanket fort, you know?
Oh, yes,
her skin tight jeans. I love singing the phrase skin tight jeans.
I like it when you sing Teenage Dream.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Like with a real rock, like yeah. gritty guitar going on.
Absolutely.
I love that.
That absolutely. Might be my favorite song that she
is. Is it really?
I love it.
Waking Up in Vegas takes it for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good
song.
Too.
That song is also, like I was saying before, like it's her most rock and roll song or most rock and roll single that's been released.
I love Waking Up in Vegas. I also love Firework.
Firework's a great song.
Firework.
And Roar. Duh.
I like Roar.
And I don't care if Roar came after Brave. It's still better than Bareilles' song. 100%.
The mashup of Brave and Roar
ruins Roar because it's so much better than Brave. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just being bitter for fun.
I think that is actually better than the sum of its parts, to be honest with you. I like the combination. I've just messed up your microphone.
Cool. Thanks.
Thanks.
You just don't want people to hear how much I don't like Sarah Bareilles.
Bareilles!
No, but seriously, Roar is a better song than Brave. That's why we did Brave on this show, and we will never do Roar.
Touche.
It's good.
I love Teenage Dream because I...
Skin-tight jeans,
so
right?
Relatable. Oh, okay. I like skin-tight jeans.
Explain to me why it's so relatable.
I feel like... shut your fucking...
You,
I'm sorry.
You just walked right into
shut
a trap.
Shut your face!
Shut your face.
Here's why I like Teenage Dream. I think it is relatable because I feel like everybody has had a first love that sort of makes them feel, you know, the first... fucking balls. I feel like it's relatable because your first love brings out certain feelings in you, right? Like lots of tingly, lots of firsts, lots of fun. And when you find a partner that again brings out those feelings of tingles, those feelings of fun. And I don't know. I just always really liked it. And I think it's adorable.
It is cute. It's kind of silly though. Like they get a hotel, but then they just build a fort out of sheets.
I love
that's
that.
Adorable, I guess.
That's
but
adorable.
It's a little silly too.
You'll be my Valentine every year. I think that's so cute. It's just like, because for me, Katy Perry is cute and like fun and poppy and fun to sing karaoke to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't necessarily consider, I don't like own her music. I am a fan for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, for me, she's fun and fun to dance to.
I would agree.
I was listening to Katy Perry just station yesterday though, just kind of like gearing up for this. And she's got some stuff that is more recent. That is mm-hmm. really great and grown up and not so cute and silly, but yeah. I really liked it.
Her voice has really developed, mm-hmm. I think. And I love her acoustic, like guitar-y, like she's got a really pretty voice.
Yeah,
she does. She has a good voice. Her acoustic guitar, of course, like a callback to her very early career before she was even Katy Perry, back when she was the Christian singer Katie Hudson.
Yeah.
Who had to legally change her name because of the actress. But yeah, she's matured as an artist, which is weird to say about like a saccharine sweet like pop singer.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while it happens.
Yeah.
And she's grown up.
I don't think she ever was just a saccharine sweet pop singer, because there's this sense of humor and wink behind the music that's cleverer than just
even like a
sugary pop.
Even her first big single, I Kissed a Girl, which was, I think, a little bit more sexually exploitative.
Yeah.
But there was a whimsy behind it.
I think I didn't like that song because I remembered when we were teenagers and we had our own I Kissed a Girl song by Jill Sobule. And I was like, Katy Perry, are you just stealing what Jill Sobule already did and doing it with your own style? And I think the answer is yes, because Katy Perry's basically our age.
Well,
that
song was written by the same team that wrote this song.
I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry.
I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry.
Was written by the same team that wrote California Girls.
Including the likes of people that we've discussed on this show before, Max Martin, and of course, Dr. Luke. Who
I wrote down, have we done songs by Max Martin before? Because I thought
Britney
I recognized
Spears.
That name.
He's done a ton of stuff, though. Like,
was Dr. Luke on this song,
Dr.
too?
Luke was one of the producers of this song. Dr. Luke, man. The most contemptuous individual in pop music over the past several years now. So,
most contemptuous or most contemptible?
Both.
The both. Most,
yeah. So, but anyway, this song also has songwriting credits to Katy Perry and Snoop Dogg, who wrote his verse. And then Bonnie McKee, who had a little bit of minor success, although I forget what her quote-unquote hit song was before this. But with that, Emily, can I ask you to read the chorus to this song?
Absolutely.
Can you say that in a weird voice for me?
Absolutely.
Yes, there it is. Okay.
You could travel the world, but nothing comes close to the Golden Coast. Once you party with us, you'll be falling in love. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, oh, ooh. California girls, we're unforgettable. Daisy Dukes, bikinis on top. Sun-kissed skin so hot, we'll melt your popsicle. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, I did that. California girls, we're undeniable. Fine, fresh, fierce. We got it on lock. West Coast represent. Now put your hands up. Ooh, ooh.
Can I issue a correction real quick?
Yes.
It's oh 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 oh
oh.
Whatever, you guys. I like it better my way. Sorry.
Well, we should record you doing it with all of your weird voice and oohs.
I don't know if I have, like, my lyrics are kind of funny.
Okay, because you're not on the same page as us.
Because
you're just hitting buttons.
I'm hitting buttons. That's what I do. I'm a button presser.
Yeah, you're a button pusher.
I'm a button pusher. I'm a pusher, Katie.
What is that pusher from Mean Girls?
Mean Girls.
I love that movie.
So this chorus, like the rest of the song, is just kind of like a sugary sweet California represent. Now put your hands up. That's really...
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do take issue with, you could travel the world, but nothing comes close to the Golden Coast. Like, have you gone anywhere?
Really?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I just want to throw in, she uses the word world, doesn't rhyme it with girl.
Thank
despite
you.
The fact, point.
Despite the fact that the song is titled California Girls.
All right, fair
At
enough.
At no point does that terrible not rhyme occur in this song.
Good defense. Thank
Good
you,
defense.
Songwriters.
So can I tell you why that's the pre-chorus?
Why?
So this song was written kind of as a response to the Alicia Keys Jay-Z hit Empire State of Mind.
Oh, okay.
Which came out in 2009, I believe. And she has a direct quote about, like, how, you know, that song was just so huge. And she says, she told Rolling Stone.
This is Katy Perry.
Katy Perry told Rolling Stone, quote, everybody was holding their drinks in the air and dancing, and I thought, we're not in New York. We're in L.A. What about California? What about the homies? The gin and juice? The swaying palm trees? The sun-kissed skin 24/7? Then she goes on to say, quote, I wanted people to book a ticket to California the first time they hear this song.
Okay.
So
she wanted this to come on in a bar, like, anywhere across the country.
Yep.
And instead of, you know, screaming along to New York, concrete, jungle, where dreams are made of. That's always a weird lyric. She wanted them screaming, like, sipping gin and juice, et cetera.
Well, Snoop Dogg already had them singing sipping. She said something along
That's
the lines
true.
Of, I didn't write this quote down, but she said something along the lines of, like, you know, it's been a long time since we've had a California song, especially from a woman's perspective.
I can't think of another California song from a woman's perspective.
No.
I think of like the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. That is the
quintessential.
Big, yeah, the quintessential reference, especially if you're going to name your song California Girls. Mm-hmm. You know,
Mamas and the Papas were all about California.
That's true.
And the
California Dreaming, but that's that is not a distinctly female perspective.
No, I wouldn't say that.
And then, of course, we had the television show California Dreams.
Yeah,
we had the TV show with all their California music.
That's right. And then you had the Phantom Planet song and the theme song to the OC, California. Yes.
California.
I like that song.
Take me home.
Here we come.
Here we come. Here we come. I actually love that song.
Yeah.
I do too.
That's a good song. I liked Phantom Planet just fine.
But none of those songs are
from a female perspective.
From a female perspective.
I'm sure they're out there and I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Can I say one thing though?
Yes.
This the girls is misspelled.
Okay. Here's another interesting factoid.
Ooh, can I say one thing before we get into that?
Yes.
I don't think this song is from a female perspective, though. there's nothing about this song that feels from a female perspective.
I mean, there's quite a bit of female empowerment in this song, even if it's mostly like, but check out all the sexy ladies we got over here in California.
Yeah,
I think that is
not a female perspective.
Not a female perspective.
Fine, fresh, fierce.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, so we're going to get into a lyric that I have a problem with.
Sure.
As a lady, and... You'll see.
Okay.
Let's talk about the spelling of girls first.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll get back to
it. So it was originally spelled G-I-R-L-S, but at the time, the frontman for the power pop band Big Star had passed away, Alex Chilton, who's kind of like a legendary songwriter. You know the song 13. Won't you let me take you home from school?
No. I don't know that song.
It's a great song. It's like a mellow acoustic song. Anyway, that's neither here or there. Alex Chilton had recently passed away, and Katy Perry's manager, Bradford, good name.
Good name.
Was a big fan of this band and requested that he spell it girls because Big Star had a song called September Girls with girls spelled the same way. So all that really is a nod to the late Alex Chilton.
That's
so
cool. I accept it.
Yeah.
I do not.
That's... I'm just glad it's not spelled G-U-R-L-Z.
Oh, yeah. That,
is how I wrote it in my notebook just for
is
fun,
it?
Though.
That is fun. Z's are objectively more fun
than S's.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Or Z's, so that, again, Zed. I don't have to get like a text message from Joe Shipley that says it's Z, not Z. I've covered it now, Joe.
Back off.
Yeah.
So. All commentary welcome, though.
All commentary welcome, as long as it's positive.
So it might not necessarily be from a female perspective, but there is a female speaker.
There's a female speaker that's communicating like from the male gaze.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Through the halls. I mean, the bikinis, the Daisy Dukes, the sun-kissed skin so hot will melt your popsicle.
Yeah, we're going to melt your popsicle.
We can see that the first five writers on this song were male, and then there's Katy Perry listed last.
Right.
There. And that, I don't really have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the fact that like it's, because it is kind of jokey. There is that sense of humor behind it. So I'm not criticizing it, but it's certainly not, it doesn't feel from a female perspective.
No.
It feels like a fantasized depiction of women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is definitely like,
And it's not a woman's fantasy of women.
No.
No.
Or at the very least, not a straight woman's fantasy of a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say what
a
gay woman's fantasy of a woman would be, so I'm not going to try to imagine it.
I'd imagine somebody who listens and cares about them very much.
Well, maybe that's just stereotyping, though.
Am I just stereotyping gay women as something? All I want is somebody to listen and care about me.
I am not going to try to imagine somebody else's perspective. You've done it twice now. You tried to give us a straight lady's perspective and a gay lady's perspective.
He's really trying to make this a female empowerment song. I think
that as a non-gay and a non-lady, I am really the one who can tell you ladies perspective.
As a straight white man, could you explain more things to us,
I would love
please?
To.
Thank you for mansplaining.
You got it. I'm happy that I could mansplain. I don't know that you have enough mansplainers in your life, and so I thought I could add the mansplaining perspective.
It's real important.
So it is important.
We're always looking for the mansplaining perspective.
Absolutely. It's important to get all viewpoints here.
Oh, Lord.
Is there anything to discuss with the actual lyrics of the pre-chorus or chorus here?
No.
That's not where you have the problematic lyric.
No. Second.
Can we please talk about sun-kissed skin so hot will melt your popsicle,
yes,
though?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I just think that's really funny.
It sure is.
It is really funny.
I love using the phrase melt your popsicle as or like it melts my popsicle as a result. Like it's so ridiculous. It makes sense when you're talking about using the word popsicle. Sun directly before it
but
and how hot they are.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Saying these girls are hot. They're so hot. They'll melt your popsicle.
But if your popsicle
is a phallic symbol,
I would think it'd freeze your popsicle.
It's not a great metaphor, but it is. But it, like, maybe they're not talking about it as a phallic symbol.
Also, think about it this way. When someone said, like, consider the euphemism.
They're talking about a literal popsicle.
Right, like, that floods my basement. You know, that's talking about a lady's melting of the popsicle. So melting my popsicle is kind of like flooding my basement. So maybe it's more of a lady being turned on.
I don't know how to say what
it's
I'm
so
thinking.
Sticky and just liquidy what I'm thinking. Down there.
It'll
what
melt.
Was that?
So when the popsicle melts, it turns from a solid to a liquid.
Yes.
And maybe that's where we're going with it. Oh, God. I'm sitting with my hands on my hips. Why?
I wish everyone could see your face.
So red.
Can you rethink that lady for listening to this episode with her teenager?
Rude Katie is on display. I love it.
It is 1,000% prude Katie.
I explained that very politely, which is always what I aim to do. I aim to explain things as politely as possible.
With a hilarious politeness.
All right. Well, I'm on board with melt your popsicle now. I get it. Before, I thought, well, that's counterintuitive.
Yes.
If the ladies were hot, the popsicle would freeze. But we're talking about the end result here.
Yeah. We are talking about the end result.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The ultimate melting of that once frozen popsicle.
My favorite part about the melted popsicle is in the video.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where I know I'm skipping ahead, but it's during the Snoop Dogg rap. And there's just like a villainous sound of a lady sigh. As Snoop Dogg is rapping, and there's this adorable little cartoon popsicle that on the side just melts into a puddle, and I'm like, it's cute.
I thought
it's funny.
I thought that popsicle was like an enemy, much like Snoop's army of gummy bears. These are like adversaries to the ultimate cause of beating Snoop Dogg at a board game.
Yeah. So, I love the gummy bears too. I love how at the beginning of the video,
you get the finger from
Katy
the gummy
Perry
bear.
Smiles. Nobody can see this that little anymore. Gummy bear, and it just gives her the middle finger. Yeah.
I don't care that nobody can see it.
So many good visuals in that video.
You can see it in your hearts, guys.
Yep.
Oh, I also think it's silly to have Katy Perry, but I think this is intentional, especially with like the collaboration with Snoop Dogg here, the lyrics like West Coast represent or we got it on lock.
Yeah.
And she's saying it in this like, we got it on lock. Like,
I always thought it was we got it a lot until I read the lyrics. Yeah.
And I think that that is intentionally, what is the word I'm looking for? Like an intentional juxtaposition between like the tone of the song and the words she's saying. Like, look it, I'm cute and I'm with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. So can
it's
I
like,
tell
how
you,
silly.
Can I tell you about the Snoop Dogg contribution on this song?
Yeah.
So Katy Perry had started writing this song and intentionally wrote in phrases like gin and juice and like using those kind of West Coast things as what she calls Snoop bait. Because she wanted she wanted to include him on the song. And so, quote, we thought it would sound so cool to have Snoop Dogg on and give the song another dimension. Snoop is as West Coast as it gets. So that's why she drops all the other Snoop Dogg references in the song was in order to lure him in.
Snoop bait. I love
Snoop
that.
Snoop bait.
So they had the like Snoop Doggy Dogg on the stereo line written before they knew he was going to do a rap on the song. Well, he bought in hard.
He did buy in hard.
And I love it.
You?
I love
it's
it.
Katy Perry.
Way to a man's heart is through his ego.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fair enough.
As they stereotype men.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Brad. That's definitely what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Sure.
With their melted popsicles.
Just emasculating men
100%.
Left and right.
Oh. It's like an Emily sound effects board. I know you can't help it. This is decades upon decades of just like honing your personality. Oh boy. I wish you guys had headphones on. And the snorts. And now the snorts begin.
I'm sorry.
So, you're not sorry. Don't ever apologize. You got it on lock.
Should I read the first verse?
Yes. And are you going to read the little Snoop Dogg intro?
Of course I am.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey. Necessary sound effect. That's,
I just said before.
I did it on purpose.
Okay.
That's funny.
That's not an actual lyric for
necessary
those of that
weren't necessary sound listening. Effect in asterisk. No, it's just greetings, loved one. Let's take a journey.
There it is.
I know a place where the grass is really greener. Warm, wet, and wild. There must be something in the water. Sipping gin and juice. Laying underneath the palm trees, the boys break their necks trying to creep a little sneak peek.
At us. I was reading the parentheticals for you. So Snoop bait number one right there. Mm-hmm. Sipping gin and juice.
Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
You know, it's weird that in the video, when she says warm, wet, and wild, she's in a little ice cream land.
And she's licking the ice cream.
Yeah.
Not melting any popsicles.
Nope.
That's later.
That's later. All that entire landscape is frozen over, mm-hmm. where it's warm, wet, and wild.
It's Candyland.
It is Candyland. It's California Land or Candyfornia or something. I think it's Candyfornia.
Yeah,
is the game that's being played in this video. I don't have anything to say about this verse. It's fine. It does what it's supposed to do in the context of this song.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It sets the stage.
So the grass is not always really greener in California, though.
No, sometimes it's on fire.
I know. So, I know that sounds horrible, but it is what I was thinking. It's very dry, you know? Yeah. There's often drought in California.
There's desert in
it's
California.
Only really frequently wet on the actual coast,
mm-hmm.
like where the ocean meets the land.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. But I guess we're supposed to take grass is greener, you know, in its metaphorical sense.
Right.
I think it's supposed to be both. Place. I think it's supposed to be literal and figurative.
Where it says laying underneath the palm trees, in parentheses it says undone.
I mean, I'm saying bikini tops.
Okay, and that's the boys are breaking their necks trying to catch a peek
trying
of...
Trying to creep a little sneak peek.
Of the boobs.
Yeah.
Right? Side boobs.
Side boobs mostly.
A little side boob.
A little side boob.
Speaking of side boob, I was actually kind of shocked at the amount of near nudity in this video. Okay. And I know that we were discussing how like... Katy Perry's always kind of used her sexuality in like a whimsical, isn't this absurd way. But that was like legit, like, oh, I did not expect naked Katy Perry with her ass crack mostly
just covered.
Yeah.
Just covered by like,
like an artful
carton candy.
An artful
carton candy.
Carton candy. It was an artful butt pick, basically, right there.
It was an artful butt pick.
With just like so much side boob hanging out and cleavage. Abound.
That was overt. That was pretty overt. There wasn't a lot of whimsy there, I thought.
I thought it was full of whimsy because she's wearing a purple wig and at multiple points looks directly into the camera and winks. Like,
does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
right while she's laying on that cotton candy cloud. Yeah, it'll close up on her face, I think twice in the video, and on like a semi-sexy lyric while she's laying on the cotton candy, she... winks. I just winked like people can see me. She winks right into the camera. And so I don't know. I think that's part of the whole sort of style of what's being done in the video.
When this song and album were released, I was at the time working at Best Buy and they had the marketing running on the TV screens like every single day. And that was the shot they were constantly showing. Was just Katy Perry with the blue hair, like almost completely. Well, she was completely naked with the exception of that draped cotton candy piece over her butt.
Sure, but she's laying face down, so you really only see like her back in the top of
absolutely.
Her butt.
But when it's a still photo of that, it certainly doesn't come off as like whimsical or in jest.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes as like, we're going to sex up Katy Perry to sell this album. And I'll be damned if it didn't work.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah. If I had that figure, I would be naked all the time.
Fair enough. I wouldn't because
that's not
am
how
a
you
big
roll.
Old prude.
Because you're a prude, Katie.
Yeah.
If you had that figure, you would still be walking around in a robe and a hoodie and slippers and a blanket because it's freezing cold all the time.
Even if I were a bustier lady, I'd still be cold all the time. Yeah. So, I mean,
exactly.
It is too cold to live life, you know, out there laying on a cotton candy cloud. Now, maybe
in California,
if I lived in California where it's warm, wet, and wild, I wouldn't be so freezing all the time, but it's 90 degrees here in New Jersey in the summer, and
we're talking Southern California because I know in Northern California, exactly.
Yeah,
I snow guess. Sweatpants, long johns,
snow pants
maybe on snow top pants. Of those. We're absolutely
going to Tahoe. Need some snow pants.
Yeah, wine country.
Wine country. Even, you know what, on the coast in San Diego in July, I went once and like had to put on a shirt because it was chilly. Definitely couldn't be in my bathing suit.
I think San Diego deserves more songs dedicated to it. From what I understand, it's supposed to be... I've never been there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So,
yeah.
From what I understand, the weather's supposed to be perfect like all year long.
It is.
So, anybody in San Diego want to let us know about the weather out there and how many songs are or are not dedicated to your great city?
I think it would be really hard to rhyme anything with San Diego.
If they rhyme girl with world, they can...
you can find...
San Diego, it's... And fuego. And
oh, yes, there we go. Yeah. San Diego means like Saint Diego. And so to have the Spanish and fuego in there,
it
makes
a
lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
The world is Carmen San Diego.
Oh, do it, rockapella.
That's whatever. You know what that is. Don't
I know.
You?
I know.
Yeah, that's why I'm San Diego. You know what? You know Rockapella is the band that performed that song? So you were challenging me. Do I know what that is?
No, Brad made a face at me. No, I was challenging Brad's face, okay?
But my face was not in like a, what the hell are you singing, Emily? It was in a like, this is amazing. Just what is happening here? How your brain may or may not be like short-circuiting at any given moment. Oh boy.
Emily's on vacation this weekend.
This is going to be the first podcast to ever capture somebody's death by laughter. Choking. Has anybody ever choked on their own laughter to death? The best thing is, it wasn't even that funny. It was just...
It was mostly the snort and the choke.
You're just laughing at your own absurdity.
Oh, Lord.
How much coffee have you had this morning?
I took cups. My limit.
Are we going to look at the second verse?
Yes.
It's very short. Verse 2 is so short.
The song does not have a ton of lyrics. So I do think this is my favorite verse because it's the most absurd.
Yeah.
So this is this where you have a problem with
I have
the lyrics?
Lots of problems
yes.
with this one.
Sex on the beach. We don't mind sand in our stilettos. We freak in the Jeep.
Honk honk.
Snoop Doggy Dog on the stereo.
Okay.
So this is how I know it's not from a lady's perspective, because sex on the beach is not a pleasant thing for a lady.
It couldn't possibly be a pleasant thing for anybody.
I mean, you'd think.
Right.
But it's still a male fantasy.
The fantasy of it is so appealing that people don't think of the logistics of it.
Right.
But that's true of so many like sexual encounters that you read in books or you hear in songs or you see in movies.
Yeah.
Where the actual logistics of what they're doing don't make any sense at all. Yeah. Or right. Wouldn't be fun.
And wouldn't be pleasant.
No.
And but
nobody wants sand everywhere.
No, nobody wants
exactly.
sand. Exactly. But that's how you know it's like I think that's how we know it's a male auteur or a male director, if mm-hmm. it's like a completely not pleasurable experience for the woman. Like, and women watching like this particular scene or reading the song lyric, they're like, no, that's not a pleasant
right.
thing.
Well, because also if you're going to freak in the Jeep,
again,
not that
not
much
pleasant,
fun.
Not a fun
is that
experience.
What, is that what freak in the Jeep is supposed to be? Is banging in the Jeep?
I would think so.
If we're talking about sex on the beach and then they get to the Jeep.
I need to look up the slang term freak in the Jeep.
Well, also, sand in my stilettos. What woman wears stilettos to the beach?
Yeah, that.
Not even California girls wear stilettos to the beach.
And no. This is not just, now we have a woman in her Daisy Dukes and bikini top in stilettos on the beach saying, we don't mind sand in our stilettos.
Nope.
You do mind.
You do.
First, you're not wearing stilettos. That's stupid. And second, if you had sand in your stilettos, do you know how much that would hurt?
You would,
you know, you'd have terrible blisters.
It'd get all ripped up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. No, it's a very unpleasant. Yeah. This is my least favorite verse.
And stilettos are so uncomfortable.
They're so
Pointy toe, the little skinny heel.
And you know what? I don't know one California woman that would wear Daisy Dukes, a bikini on top, and then stilettos. Unless she's, you know, a streetwalker.
Mm.
Those then, women might, you
know,
be doing that.
Maybe. But I don't know. I couldn't speak to that.
So I'm finding nothing on the phrase freak in the Jeep.
Well, I think just freak, like to freak, is a slang term for getting it on.
Okay.
It's politer than saying the actual F word. Right. You know, you could play freak on the radio.
Exactly. That's true. What I was going to say.
So, yeah, they have sex on the beach, then they freak in the Jeep. Now, you could look at that
with
more,
like the soundtrack of Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, you could look at that more innocently as like dancing in the Jeep, but I think we got to go with getting on here. Oh my God.
What was that?
So Siri just heard us say Snoop Dogg and then told me to check it out and has given me a little blurb on Snoop Dogg.
Well, that's terrifying.
Name, as you told us before, is Calvin, and apparently he's 6'4".
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that.
Giant man. He's a giant man.
I was just trying to look at the lyrics again, so settle down, Siri.
So, do we have anything else to say about this verse?
Verse 2 is just preposterous.
It's just preposterous. Boo. It's just, like, kind of cheap fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, freak in the Jeep, honk, honk.
It
is that, like, honk if you're horny?
Honk, honk.
Freak in the Jeep.
That's funny.
That's Emily, does that indicate something about your current state? You just honked for us.
Honk, honk, honk.
This doesn't ruin the song for you.
No.
It just is your least favorite part of
it
the song.
It is my least favorite part of the song.
It's not so dumb that it's like offensive or off-putting.
No.
It's just kind of like dumb fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
It's not offensive at all.
No.
It is just what makes it obvious that this is not from a
it
real
not
woman's
a
perspective.
Right. It's not a female empowerment song.
Yeah.
But it is fun.
Yeah.
I'm okay with fun.
I don't think every song has to be a female empowerment song.
No.
I don't think so either.
But we just should be clear that this isn't one.
This
song is just like pure entertainment value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And it is... I do think there's a nod and a wink, and I think that there is whimsy, and I think Katy Perry brings that to this song.
Right. You know? I think Katy Perry ultimately wanted to do what she said she wanted to do. She wanted people to hear this at a club or at a party or at a bar.
Beach bar.
A beach bar, and have California ladies like raising their hands up and saying like, yeah, this is
she
a song
was
about California.
For California.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
There are lots of songs about New York. It's true.
Yeah.
And there's a good amount of songs about California as well, as we've listed
That's
already.
True.
But are any of them as fun as this song? This song is fun.
I
it makes
Beach
you
Boys,
want to dance.
Beach Boys have a lot
Beach
of fun.
Beach Boys is, that's,
songs.
Yeah, that's a
but like
fun
Californication
surf song.
Is one of those sort of.
I hate that song.
I know. And then, what's the other one? This
Danny California.
I live in, lonely as I am.
Oh, Under the Bridge?
Mm-hmm.
That's about drug use.
Yeah, see?
Well, okay. That's not about California. It's about a bridge where he did drugs.
Oh, wait, no. What is the one? Yeah, the
You're thinking
city
Danny,
I live
California?
In. City I live in, the city of angels.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an LA reference
that's
in there.
That's an
oh,
LA
yeah.
reference, but it's not a California song.
Well, it's about
a band
doing,
from California
doing
I guess,
drugs in the city I live doing, in, the city of angels. So well, I think it counts as a California song too. And
California,
it's certainly,
rescue me.
I was in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah, and I was singing another California song.
I like it.
I was defending your point of view. You know. Both are the worst.
We're
two of the closest people to you.
We just go off on tangents. That's what happens.
I'm focused.
Yeah, I know.
Emily's not a focuser.
I'm
she
not a
is
focuser.
A...
having a like,
what?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Even I couldn't decipher that. Usually I do a good
Katie, you're usually the like Emily to English translator.
Yeah.
And, Emily, you're very much the type that this thought has entered my brain and therefore it must come out of my mouth immediately.
It's true. It's true, even when it's super not on top.
Yep.
Focused. I'm going to insist that I want to read the Snoop Dogg part.
I would love it if you did that.
The Snoop Dogg.
Can we have Emily read the O-O-O's though?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Oh, wait, that's not in the Snoop Dogg part. My bad. All right, so Katie.
I'll read the Katy Perry part.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Toned, tan, fit, and ready. Turn it up because it's getting heavy. Wild, wild West Coast. These are the girls I love the most. I mean the ones. I mean like she's the one. Kiss her. Touch her, squeeze her buns. The girl's a freak. She drives a Jeep and live on the beach. I'm okay. I won't play. I love the Bay just like I love L.A. Venice Beach and Palm Springs. Summertime is everything. Homeboys banging out. All that ass hanging out. Bikinis, zucchinis, martinis. No weenies. Just the king and a queenie. Katie, my lady.
Yeah.
Looky here, baby.
Uh-huh.
I'm all up on ya, because you representin' California.
Would you also knock out like the Snoop Dogg outro?
West Coast, West Coast. California girls, man. Ha 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 ha. I really wish you all could be California girls.
There we go. And those are all of the lyrics. To the smash hit song, California Girls.
I think the Snoop Dogg part is my favorite.
It is. It is also, I think, the most absurd.
Yes.
Again, they get back to the freak in the Jeep line.
Well, now the girl's a freak
right.
who yes. drives the Jeep.
She does.
So is that ultimately what freak in the Jeep is supposed to mean? Is that freak. Foreshadowing for later in the song?
No, because this came after we freak in the Jeep. It's not I'm a freak in my Jeep. It's we freak. In the Jeep.
And
no,
so here,
it's the verb freak.
And now it's the noun. The girl's a freak. She drives a Jeep.
My brain went to a place. Remember that song, What in the Butt? What in the Butt? Freak in the Jeep.
No.
You can edit this out.
I won't edit this out. You thought I was going to, you told me just earlier today, you thought I was going to edit a whole lot out of the Dave Matthews episode, and then I ultimately did not. And I think, Emily, that the same thing is going to happen with the California Girls yeah. episode, that you are under the impression a whole lot will be edited out. But it will
guys,
not.
Guys, there's so much to talk
there
about
is so
in this
much
Snoop Dogg
to talk
rap.
About.
Can you guys focus?
No, not really. Oh, this is what you always complain about when the three of us hang out.
Emily looks like she's weeping right now.
The problem is, I can't stop focusing on all the weird shit Emily does. Like, it's just a constant barrage of just weirdness emanating from this lady. Which is what I absolutely love about hanging out with you. Don't get me wrong. But I've seen you cry more, shockingly, more because of laughter than because of sadness.
That's
thing.
A beautiful thing.
So, yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
You're welcome.
Thank
so.
You. You're welcome.
Oh, man. Can we first start off with the phrase, squeeze her buns?
I did not. No.
Yeah.
That's what I was like.
What?
What in the butt?
Next time, start with that.
Start with the explanation of when I heard the line squeeze her buns, it reminded me of the song What in the Butt.
Oh, who can think that much?
Literally every other person on this planet.
Not true.
Seven
Not true.
Point I'm saying out of the 7.5 billion people on this great planet Earth of ours, 7.3
yeah.
can
yeah,
think
a hard
like that.
Time
yeah.
Making things make sense.
What?
Yeah.
In the talking.
I get it. I know.
So I always thought that line was kiss her, touch her, squeeze her, and then just like a
Yeah.
No.
No, he says buns.
Well, it's kind of over in mm-hmm. the song. He says buns at the same time as and I think that's kind of like a radio edit.
Oh, that makes sense. Because it was very evident that he said buns on the video, mm-hmm. like when we watched that.
I just think it's so funny, this idea of like Snoop Dogg squeezing someone's buns.
Mm.
Again, yeah. Time's up. However, I feel like if Snoop Dogg squeezed my buns, I'd be okay with it.
Well, a bun squeezing is okay as long as the lady consents to it.
Exactly.
So if the girl who drives the Jeep is on board with Snoop Dogg and he wants to kiss her, touch her, squeeze her buns, and she wants to be kissed and touched and have her buns squeezed, and maybe it's just like, yeah. you know, like a bun, like a hamburger bun. You
or
don't know.
Or squeeze those hamburger buns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Could be that.
Or that Charmin. Squeeze that Charmin.
Some yeah. kind of sweet bun that's a pastry. There's a lot of pastries in the video.
That would get sticky.
King's yeah. Hawaiian rolls. Those things. Are good.
I do like the fact that Snoop Dogg used the word buns.
That's it. That's so ridiculous. It's so funny.
I know. Oh, my Lord.
And they say ass later.
So much. It's all the marijuana, really.
I think
he's just mellowed.
I think he's also been a celebrity for almost 30 years now. Like right. He's just like, he's grown up. He's a different person from that 19-year-old Snoop Doggy Dogg who put out Doggy Style right. once upon a time. So
yeah, how do we go from the song Doggy Style to Snoop Dogg saying, squeeze her buns.
Squeeze
yeah.
her buns.
He's That's just, the older, more mature Snoop.
He's just like chilling, having a good time now. He's yeah. like, you know, I've had my career. And yeah. I'm enjoying life now. I'm gonna squeeze those buns.
I love that he is in a candy printed full suit.
He's a candy pimp. He is a candy pimp.
It's true.
His like the vest.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that candy outfit.
But he's so very clearly the villain in the video. Like he's capturing all these ladies and keeping them in candy prisons.
Was that
yeah, she
that?
Was rescuing yeah. all of them.
I did
but then
not
at
get
the
that.
End, everybody's friends.
Everybody's friends. You know, well, he says like, well, you've destroyed my army of gummy bears with your boob whipped cream.
That's my favorite part of the video.
It's so ridiculously over the top, and Katy Perry just owns it.
She appears in glittery red Daisy Dukes yeah. and a glittery red
bikini
bra,
on top,
and which she attaches whipped cream to above her nipples,
above
and
the
then
nips.
Just
it's
shoots.
Right on her pecs. It's not like necessarily
it's
like
the
a
top
boob.
Of her boob,
the top of the boob,
and then shoots Snoop and the gummy bear army with whipped cream, and then all of a sudden everybody's dancing.
Yeah, so that part of the video was Katy Perry's idea.
Was it really?
She was the one. Yeah, she was inspired by like the fembots of Austin Powers.
I thought that might be what she's referencing.
And she's just like, she's got her arms in the air, firing off this whipped cream, and just like hero pose with the hands on the waist, just like nobody can see me doing my Katy Perry impression.
I really
here.
Like the yeah, little
it's all right.
Dance
it's all right. Doing. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Brad just had his hands on his hips like a superhero,
dip.
Pecs back and forth.
And now yep. Katie's doing it.
And I did it too.
Everybody is doing it. great video. Yeah. So ridiculous. So
I love it.
Ridiculous.
So ridiculous. And she's having so much fun. Like, that's the other thing. You can really tell. She's having such a good time.
I feel like everybody who was in that video is having a real good time. Her backup dancers.
Oh, my gosh.
They're just loving it. They're
Those
dressed up as, like,
moves.
Candyland characters.
When
and
they're
just like,
all in, like, the cupcake bra top.
I love the cupcake bra.
And they're
bras.
Doing a choreographed dance that's, like, the simplest dance you've ever seen. That also feels on purpose. Like, it feels purposefully a little bit lame.
Yeah.
Like, just to go with, like, the
Again,
sugariness of
I
the video.
I mean, Katy Perry is also not a dancer. So
she's probably more of a singer than a dancer.
Yeah. She's had some dancing training through her career just in order to put on live shows, but that's not her talent.
Yeah. Well, it was very funny.
I always thought that the line was homeboys hanging out, all that ass hanging out. And so I thought like, come on, Snoop, don't rhyme hanging out with hanging out. But as it turns out, he rhymes banging out with hanging out.
Yeah.
I'm assuming banging out is some type of term that I'm not at all aware of what it means. Well, no, I know it's a term that I'm not at all aware of what it means. Is that like a slang term? Is that California slang that I'm unaware of?
Homeboys banging out?
Yeah.
The only context I think of is like gang banging, which is mm-hmm. not... Oh, and I didn't... Ooh. Like... I didn't necessarily mean that in the sexual way,
oh, no,
by
oh,
the
right.
way, just
no.
now.
My brain went to like gangbanging. Like
Like...
Oh, I went straight to like sex banging.
Well, I didn't mean it in the sexual way, but that actually, that phrase has two connotations.
I forgot about that.
But I don't think either of those things are what it would mean here.
But when you're a gang, like oftentimes they're called bangers.
Yeah, that's sure. what I was thinking of.
Right.
But there's no other context in this rap for like a gang being involved whatsoever.
I think it's more that's like your homeboys are like your squad. Sure. It would be like saying instead of squad, they're like, this is my bang.
I honestly.
My gang. This is my bang.
So even though we know like
these are my bang.
Even though we know that there are a couple of phrases that use the word like banging.
Yeah.
I don't think either of those connotations are at play here. I honestly just think it's a cheap rhyme for hanging.
Yeah, I agree.
It was like the boys are hanging out and the ass is hanging out. Oh, you can't say hanging twice.
Say banging.
We're not going to say the ass is banging out.
And then why not, Katie?
And then
Snoop Dogg, not you.
And then I'm sure Snoop Dogg was like, whatever, I'll just say banging out and it'll become slang now.
Yeah.
I did it with a whole Lizanguage. All right.
Yeah, Lizanguage. So my favorite. Can we talk about my favorite line?
Oh, where he samples ShamWow, or not the ShamWow, but the Slap Chop.
What?
Are you talking about the next line, right? Bikini, zucchini,
martinis, no weenies.
So you don't remember Vince the ShamWow guy had the follow-up product, the Slap Chop?
No.
Boy, oh boy. Emily, I need to play that for you. And he's just like, it's like one of those things where it just real quickly, like you slap the little device and it chops vegetables into the little...
Well, how does that have anything to do with...
So...
Because of the commercial.
Oh.
He said that's exactly what he says in the commercial. Is like he says like zucchini, fettuccine, martini, bikinis. Like he just and then Snoop just tags it with no weenies.
No weenies.
Not for me, thank you very much.
No weenies.
Not a weenie.
You can have bikinis, you can have zucchinis, you can have martinis, you can have no weenies.
Yeah.
But you can definitely have a king and a queenie.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't understand why zucchinis makes an appearance in this song at all, to be honest with you.
Zucchinis. Why? I don't understand what happened.
If you're talking about California girls in 2010, I can understand why you would say no weenies. I can't understand why you would. What are you doing? You're making noise. You're just playing with.
I'm sorry. I need a fidget toy.
Emily's focus is really lacking again.
It's so pretty. It's shiny.
You're like a raccoon. You're like a raccoon. It's a shiny thing, and I need to grab it and fiddle with it and shake it around.
She's fiddling with the mic stand. Yeah. What's happening? Just so everybody knows, we've lost her.
She's gone. We have another episode to record later, too. But yeah, so zucchinis doesn't belong in the song, except for the fact that it rhymes.
Well, you know, it just makes me think of his, like, when he does the shizzle, my squizzle and lizzle and pizzle. So maybe he's...
Pizzle means bull penis.
Really?
Yep, mm-hmm. It's a food.
No, I'm not going to eat that.
Well, it's meat.
No, thank you.
No weenies.
No weenies.
No weenies. That's
there it is.
No
is that what it was?
The pizzle is no weenies.
Yeah,
the
okay.
No, thank you.
Oh, man, this is fun.
So at the end, the tag says, I really wish you could all be California girls. Of course, a throwback to the Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. I wish they all could be California girls. Mm. Now, it was alleged that Beach Boys publishing companies tried to sue over that line.
That's ridiculous.
Whoa.
But Brian Wilson, who co-wrote California Girls with his cousin Mike Love of the Beach Boys, obviously. Mm-hmm. He told the LA Times that, quote, I love her vocals. She sounds very clear and energetic. And then he went on to say, quote, the melody is infectious. And I'm flattered that Snoop Dogg used our lyric in the tag.
Oh, that's so good.
So it's questionable as to whether or not their publishing company actually tried to sue when the co-writers of the original California Girls
had no problem with it.
Like the fact that they used that line right there.
I think there's a big difference between plagiarism and illusion. And that is like an allusion to and a, you know, almost like a celebration of the earlier California Girls by the Beach Boys. It's not plagiarizing. Absolutely. It's referencing. Because
I wish you all could be California Girls. I really wish. And Beach Boys was like, I wish they all could be.
Yeah.
So it's not the same line.
It's not the same line, but I think
it's so remarkably similar. In the same way that Vanilla Ice's hit song was not the Queen song. It's an absurd defense of that not being the same thing.
I mean, that's true.
That is an example of plagiarism.
Yeah.
And this is an example of illusion.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I've got one more little factoid here.
Is it a what the fact?
It's not really.
Oh, it's man. Like,
you want to hear this fact up bit of information?
Yeah. Okay.
Here's our new segment, Katie. You want to hear this bit of little fact up information?
I do.
So there is an indie pop duo straight out of Baltimore, Emily. Maybe you've heard of them. Called Beach House.
No.
No, I've never heard of them either. But earlier in 2010, they had released an album called Teen Dream. And then they went on to claim that Katy Perry may have ripped them off with her album Teenage Dream.
Oh my God.
They tweeted about it, and they also edited her Wikipedia page. which has since been taken down, but it said at the time, quote, Mrs. Perry's album title may or may not be ripping off the brilliant indie duo Beach House and their critically acclaimed record Teen Dream.
That was just,
I'm not done with this
a
quote.
Grab for them to get attention. It sure was.
It will be a challenge for her to achieve the same oral masterpiece. Now, as we've just...
That's an odd word choice.
Right. As we've just discussed, none of us have heard of the Baltimore indie duo Beach House.
No.
So,
no.
But we are all aware of the fact that Katy Perry is a monster pop star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. She's doing fine.
She's doing all right.
And also, if you've never heard of somebody, can you really have ripped them off? That's my question.
I mean, maybe she has heard of them. And maybe she did rip them off. But you know what? I agree with Katie. This is just them trying to take a cheap grab at extra success. Which, I mean, it makes sense that somebody would do that. People are trying to make their living off of music, saying, like, listen, here's how we can get a little bit more attention.
I don't respect it if they do it in such a way where they try to make her look bad.
I agree.
If they implanted a sentence about themselves that was like, and coincidentally in 2010, sure. Beach House put out Teen Dream, you know?
That would be
how
funny.
Much fun that and Katy Perry had this idea at the same time.
Yeah.
That'd be like a more acceptable way to try to like sneak their name into her Wikipedia page. But to do it in a way that says, I think it's going to be really difficult for Miss Perry to be as critically acclaimed and, you know, as much of a masterpiece as we are. It just makes you look like jerky.
There's a difference between like trying to grab at attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single time we retweet something that has to do with one of the artists that we've discussed on our show.
Yeah, we're obviously looking for attention.
Right.
Exactly.
But what we're not doing is taking a cheap grab at it. We're not like saying like, oh, this other podcast did a worse version of our pod. Like that would be ridiculous.
No,
so
you would never do that.
I would do that if it were hilarious.
True. True.
So, but as of yet, it has not been hilarious.
Oh, so. I'm so hungry.
Wow.
Sorry.
Well, guys, we're going to have to wrap this up. Emily is hungry.
Emily's about to eat a stuffed pepper that I made.
Oh my God, though. That was really good.
Yeah, they were good.
So we're going to have to feed her.
Katie, do you have any other thoughts on this song? You've written a lot of notes. Have you gone over everything you wanted to say about it?
Yeah, I did. I talked about everything I wanted to say. I just want to, if we're wrapping up the song. Yeah.
Let's talk about like what worse Katy Perry songs there are.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Extraterrestrial, for sure.
Extraterrestrial is definitely, I would put Last
TGIF.
Friday Night. Yep,
yeah.
TGIF.
Although, can I admit something?
I love that song.
It's terrible, but it grew on me like a fungus.
Yeah.
It's true. So many of her songs, though. That's what happened.
She had a song called You're So Gay.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that was a Butch Walker produced song.
Really?
I know he produced songs on that album.
I never heard that song.
So the one that we just saw like on the playlist that you guys had going, where it's like all about, it's major cultural appropriation.
Oh, the one where she's like on a lotus flower with like the Hindu like gods
and
stuff.
All of the English is written in like
Sanskrit
type.
That was cringy.
I'll be honest.
It was cringy.
I have no idea how that song goes or what the lyrics to that song
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but
I just
really
remember
bad.
There was a line about like opening my lotus flower.
Right, my
yeah.
Lotus
oh,
is
boy,
blessing.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I also hate the song The One That Got Away.
That song grew on me.
I don't know.
I don't think the lyrics are particularly cringy, but
it's a little more sentimental than your taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one after Roar that I don't like, and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh,
so there's
cool.
that.
So that one, yeah, that one's good.
I would say that there is much more Katy Perry that I love and enjoy, and that even the songs that are silly are, like this one, super enjoyable.
Yeah.
Entertaining.
I think
fun
she
to
does a great job as a pop star.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I hated her Super Bowl performance.
Oh my God, I thought that was great.
I didn't care for it. I didn't care for it with the Sharks.
Right? Yeah.
I love the Sharks. They're so great. You guys are stupid.
Okay.
Emily's just saying that because she's hungry and mad at us now.
Katy Perry, Emily here is your great defender. Great defender of the Sharks.
Katy Perry, you're my favorite.
I love her too. I think she's fabulous. And I really love... the one song that I really love that we didn't mention is Hot and Cold.
Yeah,
that's
a fun song.
Oh my God, I love that song.
That song has some dumb lyrics in it, but I'm on board for it.
Yeah, so. Totally on board.
Mm-hmm. All right. And with that, I guess we should wrap it up. I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, please reach out to us. Our email address is decompositionpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @decomp_pod, Facebook and Instagram, Decomposition Podcast. I want to thank everybody that's written us a review since we've asked. Oh, wait, nobody has done that yet. Get onto the Apple Podcasts app, drop us a 5-star rating, and write us a little review. We would be eternally grateful. In the meantime, thank you guys very much, and you just chill till the next episode.
And watch this. Tacos, fettuccine, linguine, martini, bikini.